Good morning again. Glad you're here. And the world needs light. You believe that? The world needs light more than ever, some say. It's always needed light. If you read the Bible and the Old Testament and New, you know, periods of history, some's been darker than others. Some's been lighter and brighter than others. But the world certainly needs light. I think we can agree with that. So, as a Christian, if you're saved here today by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're God's instrument to be used to spread the light in this dark world. Amen? Do you view yourself as an instrument of God this morning? Well, now, we got to do a little better than that. Do you view yourself as an instrument of God this morning? Good. So that's a lot better on the hand raising. So truly in the depths of your heart, I pray that you do feel that listen, I've got plenty of faults and this, that, and the other, and I've got a ways to go, and I'm learning, and that's all of us. But you are an instrument to be used by God to bring light in a dark world. So I pray that you truly will feel that way, that and have a desire that God use you, because God wants to use you. And He has made you, He has created you in His image, and He has a job for you in 2018. He has a plan, a ministry to your family, in your home, and it could be around the world for all I know, but He has that plan. If you look with me at Matthew 5 on the screen, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This little light of mine, what are you going to do? I'm going to let it shine. You remember that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. So that's the sermon. I hope you have a good year. Don't anybody get up. Jeremy and Dan both started to run for the door. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let it shine. So, like it or not, we're on display. If you don't believe that, go into ministry of any kind, and you'll certainly be on display. It's a fun ride, I'm telling you that. But as Christians in general, we're on display. Do you know what people expect of you? What do they expect of you? Too much? Sometimes, maybe. Not enough at other times. But as Christian people, we're going to let the light of God shine through us, and people expect something. They expect to see this Jesus in us. Now, yes, we know that there's people that have unreal expectations, but the world is watching. One time in India, I think it was in 2014, a little guy there in the store, we kind of got a conversation going, and what little I could decipher and he could say, he said these words. He said, "The world is watching America." Now, this is halfway around the world, and he had broken English, and I could understand enough to get by. He said, "President Obama." He knew all about that, and he said, "The world is watching America." And the world is watching America still today, because we've been in a leadership role for many, many years. The world is watching America. The world is watching you, because you and I say we're Christians, that we're Christ-like, and we need to act that way. So yes, we are on a display. And people think that we should act a certain way, and some of that is very legitimate. You walk into a room, you flip the switch, and what happens? The light comes on. That's just, we don't even think about it. We just flip the switch, and we get to see because the things around us is illuminated. The light's there. The darkness is gone, and we can see. And God expects that from us. Are you God's flashlight? If I had a bunch of flashlights, I should have got some. Pass them out to the kids today. Sorry, kids, you got too much for Christmas. You don't get a flashlight. Mean old preacher. But anyway, you're God's flashlight. Think about it. In the world of darkness, in a world full of evil, this, that, or the other, you think of yourself as God's flashlight, as God's lighthouse. I like lighthouses. And you go in my office, you see a bunch of lighthouses because, to me, that is a symbol of who God is. And the light bulbs, you and I, we are the flashlights and the lighthouses. Philippians 2 on the screen, verses 12 through 16 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. That's a sermon in itself. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. We are to be the light. Jesus, yes, is the light of the world. This world needs light. We'll all agree to that. We'll say amen. Yes, our own nation, it needs light. Because we live in a time that people make fun of Jesus. Actually make fun of Jesus Christ. Make fun of his disciples. Make fun of Christians. We know that. We see it. And sometimes it's maybe an uncomfortable position, we think. But we're still called to be light, to shine bright. So when there's a lot of darkness, don't you have a greater opportunity to shine? You know, if the room is about halfway lit, you turn the light on, yeah, you see better. It's illuminated. But when it's total darkness, and when that light comes on, I mean, it's like, wow. So if everything's as bad as the newscaster says or what have you, and it's dark, we can be light. We'll have more opportunity to be light. And that's what he wants us to do. Shine brighter. Be the example to the world, all of us, as Christians. So how do we do that? Well, Jesus is the... I can't speak, huh? Jesus is the supreme source. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus is the supreme source. He is the light, and we plug into Jesus Christ. His light shines through us to a dark world. That's what he's looking for us to do. The very Son of Righteousness is asking that we do that. So, how many Christians are there in the world today? I should have looked that up. Excuse me, but I didn't. So, whatever that number is, millions of people around the world, whatever the correct number is, then there should be that much light shining. Jesus light in us because we're Christians, and it should be shining around the world and should be blessing other people if his light is in us. So he is the light, we're the lesser light, but he shines through us. So he's the power supply. We plug into Jesus, and how are we going to plug into Jesus? Well, you've heard it all your Christian life, but do you do it? You're going to plug into Jesus by his word, making it a daily effort, a daily I hate to say routine, but part of your day, is the letting the Word of God renew the mind. Because as we talked about in Sunday school this morning about attitude, the world's always saying this, and people's always saying this, and for every angle you can turn, something, somebody is pulling. And sometimes they are trying to get the mind off base. And how do I get the correct mindset? How do I have the correct attitude for 2018? I must be in the Word of God. Must be. Must be in prayer. We cannot replace those things. You might not open your actual Bible that's on the coffee table. You might turn your iPad on and read it. However it is, but you've got to be in it if you want your mind renewed and to be what Jesus wants you to be and help being the light. So, shine wherever you're at. Well, I'll go here and you don't know how these people act. It's darkness, so shine. You're the light. Well, I'm going into this situation. You're the light. Well, you don't know where I work. Well, you're still the light. No matter how much darkness is there. Well, you don't know how they act at the office. You don't know how they act out here on the floor. You don't know how they act over here. No, I don't. But you're still the light. We know how we, as Christians, are to act and how we're to respond. And I'm going to tell you, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job being in the Word and praying and asking the Holy Spirit to keep us in check and in tune with Him that we may be the light. And if you let it slack a day or two, well, I don't need that Wednesday night stuff anyway. All they do is pray a little bit and look at the Word of God. That's all they do. Pray a little bit and look at the Word of God. That's all they're doing. Is that not enough? That the Word of God would enlighten us? Well, I don't need this, that, or the other, or I don't need that Bible study. Yes, you do. We all do. If we want the light to shine in us and through us to a dark world, the Word, the light Himself, must be in us. And the Holy Spirit's got to help us with that. So don't let your guard down in 2018. So our duty is to let God's light shine through us. So will we obey Him in 2018? Well, how'd you do in 2017? Well, I did great. Keep it up. Not so hot. Improve. Well, you know, what am I going to do in 18? Well, I don't know what's out in the future. That's true. But you can make up your mind that you're going to be the light of Jesus Christ in you, shining to a dark world. I hope we'll obey that. Jesus was certainly obedient to the Father's will. He said, I've took on a form of a servant for the people. I even went so far as to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And then this scripture here says to continue to work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Now, this, what's that mean? If I'm already saved, I've been saved so many years, well, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's that all about? To be diligent. To have it in the front of your thought process, to not put it on a back burner back here, but to be thinking about my salvation, to be working it out with fear and trembling, to be diligent in the things that God would have me to be diligent in. The scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It won't profit him anything. So we've got to be mindful of it. Does it make sense? Well, this doesn't make sense, what I believe God's asking me to do in this dark world. I'm to be the light, but does God really want me to do this? Matter of prayer. Be in His Word, and He'll reveal it to you. He wants you to be obedient. All of us to be obedient. No matter what the time is, the fad is of the day, righteousness and holiness will win in the end. Period. No matter what the fad is of today, no matter what's popular today, no matter what the world is floating up and down with all the different isms and schisms and everything else, at the end of the day, holiness wins. Serving God wins. A holy lifestyle in 2018. Maybe you need to pray, God, give me a desire to do what is right. We used that word Wednesday night, or one Wednesday night, and the scripture said something about what is right. And people started discussing that a little bit and said, well, what is right? And I think it was Dan or somebody looked it up, and it was saying according to God's will, God's way, God's what is right is what God says about this. So we want to do what is right, a desire to do the right thing. So what is the right thing? Well, it's according to who you ask. All these different theories of today, the right thing is what is right to God Almighty, the one who created us, the one who sees us, the one who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. What He says is right. And that's what we're to follow. Even being fair with our taxes. Y'all just loved that one, didn't you? Can you believe it'll be tax time before long? Again? Wow. And to do what's right on your taxes or any other example you want to use. Do everything without complaining or arguing. A sermon in itself. Do everything without complaining or arguing. We would be so much better off. Here's a little story for you. A Hindu trader in India asked a missionary, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the man of God answered, "I don't put anything on it." His questioner began to lose patience and emphatically said, "Yes, you do. All of you that believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns. I've even seen it in the city of Bombay." Suddenly, the Christian understood and his face glowed even more. And he said, "Now I know what you mean. I'll tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts." Now, wouldn't it be great as we go through 18 that somebody would say, "What is it you're putting on your face? What do you got on your face? Just glowing." These ladies that had babies, you know, what's the familiar thing that I heard somebody say to all of them at one time or the other? "You are just what? Glowing." See, y'all are just glowing. I see a couple of you anyway. "You're just glowing." And people say that, and then the lady, they just smile. They say, "Yeah, I'm just glowing." What if somebody said to us, "You're just glowing. What do you put on your face?" Well, it comes from within. It's Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And it's the joy of the Lord within my heart and soul. That's what it is. That would be great for us. The world sees us. They're watching. And too many of us look like we're walking around under a gray cloud. Oh, goodness, woe is me. Everything's so bad. Life's too hard. Nobody loves me. So then we begin to murmur and complain. And that's a sure way to invite events into your life that you don't want. To murmur and to complain. I still believe it is just something that opens the door to the devil. And you say, "Well, we all complain a little bit." That's probably a true statement. But you get somebody murmuring and complaining about this or that, and especially in the church. People won't murmur and complain as much at the workplace as they do the church sometimes. And you say, well, you don't work where I do, huh? But murmur and complain, and then just, and then the next thing, the devil will sneak a critical spirit in there. And he'll find anybody, and don't think you're above it, because the devil, he's a sneaky scumbag from hell. And then he'll work in there and try to get that critical spirit to take over. And if the critical spirit takes over, then all this complaining and this murmuring, and nothing's ever right, and you get in trouble. You'll get in trouble with yourself. You'll get in trouble with your family if that's where it's focused on. The church will get in trouble if it's focused in the church. That's why this is so important. Don't do this murmuring and complaining thing. It invites unwanted things into your life, and it's what it is. It's a discontented soul. Is your soul content? Are you content in the Lord? Are you satisfied in the Lord? And you say, well, if I answer yes to that, you say, well, good, he's meeting my needs. And if I say, then you'll say, well, no, you don't need to be satisfied. You need to be growing. It's not a trick question. We need to be growing, but be content in your spirit. And give these thanks to the Lord in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that you can be content in your spirit and talk with the Lord about it. Well, what about the ability to forgive in 2018? It's a biggie. It's a reflection of our Father. When you forgive somebody, I don't know anything that's any greater or shows the love of God. Well, they don't deserve it, you might say. Okay, maybe they don't, but you forgive them anyway. And then that is seeing Jesus and our Heavenly Father. That's really seeing them in action when you forgive somebody. Say, well, it's hard to forgive. I've been there, you've been there about that, but I'm telling you, he says we need to forgive people, and he will help us with that. You look like Jesus when you forgive somebody. Matthew 6, 12 through 15, it says on the screen, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You've read it 1,000 times, probably. We can read it, but we have to do it. When it's easy, when it's hard, the process must be there, and we must be forgiving other people if we want to let the light of God shine through us. So we're working out this salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to be diligent with this thing called salvation, the greatest gift that we have. Well, what'd you get for Christmas? Well, I got this and I got that. Oh, that's wonderful. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all that. The greatest gift you have is your salvation. Nothing is greater. And he says, I want you to be diligent about that. Be diligent. Well, we don't want to hide our light. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, the scripture says. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, here we are. A few hours. Guess what? Be 2000 and what? 18. Did you ever think you'd see the day? Here it comes. I hope you have a great year. I hope we take serious that we are to allow the light of our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to live in us and to shine through us in darkness. And we will have plenty of opportunity in 2018. You'll have plenty of opportunity to let your light shine before men. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for this time of year. God, we know some folks are traveling. We know some are out with family, this, that, or the other. But here we are gathered, this group of people, in this house of the Lord. And Lord, we are here not by accident, but on purpose. And Father, we know you love every one of us. We know that none of us in this room are perfect. But I pray that we have a deep, deep desire to be obedient to you, to live a holy lifestyle in 2018. Father, when we fail, forgive us. When someone does a wrong toward us, or however we would phrase it, God, help us to be quick to forgive, because we have certainly been forgiven for so much. So God, I really don't know the needs in the building today, but just for a moment in time, whatever they may be, I pray that there will be a great comfort here today to know these altars are open, or in the pew, and that there'll be a great freedom to confess any sin, to pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, to just simply say to our Father in heaven, I want your light shining through me. My workplace is dark. There's just things here and there. It is dark. There's a lot of evil there. And I don't always have the right words, and I don't know always what to say, but I want the light of God working through me this year. So, Father, whatever needs to be done, I pray in the pew or around an altar that it will be done today. Thank you that love is here, forgiveness is here, and grace and mercy is here for us to accept. So we love you, Lord. Now work in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.